fighting tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Sword.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Knights of the Storm. Today is Saturday, the 16th of March, 2024. We are streaming live to freeworld.fm, Facebook, Twitter, and Rumble. Today, we're going to be talking tech stuff. This is Tech Talk, not TikTok. Yes, we will talk about TikTok, but it is Tech Talk today. We'll be talking about self-repossessing cars and some other stuff, biomass, green energy, AI. We're going to eat some bugs, and we'll be talking about some DNA stuff, too. So anyway, I am Jason Barker, your host. Today joining me is my co-host, Angus Mustang. How is it going, Angus?
Not bad, sir. And you?
I'm doing pretty good. I got up early this morning. I'm feeling pretty good, highly caffeinated, and ready to rock and roll.
Oh, nice. Nice.
All right. So real quick, before we get started, let me give a shout out to who's in the chat already. We've got Harps all the way from Australia. We've got Little John, myself, and you are all in the chat right now on Rumble.
In Australia, apparently it's beer o'clock, Harp says. So.
Beer o'clock. Oh, yeah, it's time for him over there. Anyway, so we always start with the verse of the week. You ready to jump into that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and pardon us if there's a little bit of a delay. Angus and I were talking this morning before the show, and there seems to be a couple second delay. So if we seem a little weird, that's why. But all right, let's kick it off. So this comes from Daniel. And if you're familiar with Daniel, this is Daniel chapter 12. It's about kind of like the end times prophecy, right? And I just picked two verses, number 4 and number 10. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." That's being the book with the names of the people. "Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." And I picked that because I personally think we're about there. You know, people are running to and fro, and our knowledge is increasing like exponentially. And then you could see with the technology, the wicked, they're not seeing it, but we're seeing it. And I just want people to think about that. If you read the Bible, you know that towards the end, people are going to take the mark and do all that nasty stuff, but there's going to be those of us that are going to see it coming. So I just wanted to throw that out there and say, pay attention to what's happening on the tech side so we can be prepared. What do you think, Angus?
I would agree that it's coming because, I mean, that covers a couple of things I've seen this weekend that we'll talk about today. And they're trying to put a stop to people being able to free speech and talk about what they see coming.
You know, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Is that why they're shutting down free speech? Because they want to slip this past everybody. It's a really good point.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say hi to Molly Brown Dog. That's AG, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then Brian, they joined the chat. So I know we're going to have people popping in as this starts hitting their notifications. Hopefully they get notified. You know, I put the word out last night. So anyway, so let's get into our first topic. Get a little video here to play. This could be on TikTok. Let me know if you can't hear this, all right?
TikTok might be banned in the United States. Not yet. But the proposed bill passed today in the House and is headed to the Senate.
The rules are suspended. The bill is passed. And without the objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Democrats and Republicans have raised concerns for some time because parent company ByteDance is based in China.
Was it developed in China?
Some of it is.
Okay.
Is the user data of the 170 million Americans on TikTok secure? Or will China's ruling party compel ByteDance to hand the data over? Under a 2017 law, they can do that. The bill isn't...
All right, I'll pause it there. If we're talking about this TikTok ban, when will it go into effect? And basically the bottom line, it'll be a few months. But I wanted to do, we didn't report on this. I know everybody else has. I just wanted us to kind of talk about it and give our take on it. So what do you think about that whole TikTok ban, the whole idea?
You know, I'm not huge in the social media. The only thing is, you know, is podcast and X, because it's a good way to get out the news about the podcast. But TikTok, I'm not a TikToker. I don't care for it. Whatever. But I don't think that it's right for them to do that. I mean, for one thing, you know, they're worried about China having our information. China's got everybody's DNA that just been swabbed during the COVID, or if you're doing the you know, the family genealogy thing, I won't mention the name of it. They get any information any way they want. It doesn't require TikTok to do it. I mean, to me, hey, it's one less distraction for people. Get people to pay attention to what the hell's going on out here. Now, so why don't they cancel Facebook out? Facebook does the exact same thing. What about Google? You know, I mean, this can go on and on and on, you know, about all these different things that we use and do that is providing them information on us. So why can they think, you know, and I like the propaganda part that they use. Well, you know, it's from China. Well, everything we have is from China. I mean, right. Jesus Christ. So,
good morning to Mandeer. Mandeer just joined us. Good morning. I know when I set the stream up last night, and I'm happy it's going, because before, when I used to set the stream up before midnight or, you know, a day out, it would misfire whenever we tried to go live. So I had to do it that morning of. But StreamYard now has a persistent stream key, so I don't have to go change it every single time in StreamYard. So it appears to be I can now set it up in advance, which is great for us, because if we want to take a Saturday off, we could record a show and I could program it to go live at a certain time. And that would be pretty awesome. And we take Saturday off, go to the river, go fishing. So, but anyway, back to TikTok. So the whole premise of this is to protect American citizens, right, from China. And, that, and you know, that is the only job, the only legitimate function of the government when it comes to dealing with citizens is to protect us from foreign invaders, though, right? To protect from ourselves, protect us from foreign invaders. And right now we have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Chinese people crossing the southern border. And they're worried about an app from China when we have physical people coming over here. Okay, so they maybe need to work on that first. But back to TikTok again. It's a very, very bad precedent to set. Even if they did try to legitimize it, it's written so broadly. And you know, kind of like the NFA, National Firearms Act, you know, nobody really cared about short-barreled shotguns and Tommy guns and stuff back then. So they, you know, okay, whatever, it went through. That's all what gangsters use, is to protect the people, get them off the streets. But it has slowly been expanded over the years to include almost every semi-auto now is what they're going after. You're going to have a freaking musket or, you know, a single-shot bolt-action rifle. So this is very dangerous if it goes through. It's going to be expanded upon. That'll give them the ability to come and, you know, go from shadow banning us, because right now they do it in secret, to go into a full-on legal ban. And then how long until your speech is criminalized and you can go to jail, right? And I think you had something on that, if you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, our friends up in, and I like to refer to them as North Cuba, because every day they get a little bit closer to becoming actual Cuba, probably worse. So Canada, now the parliament is moving to impose potential life imprisonment for speech crimes. And a lot of this they're doing now because they don't like what, you know, is being told about people calling it genocide, what's going on in Gaza. So, you know, who's, you know, telling Canada, you know, hey, we need you to put a stop to this stuff. You know, it's not Canada doing it on their own. It's somebody else that's, you know, the same thing is going to happen with DC, which is part of the TikTok thing too. Mm-hmm. And because I have a new term that I like to use. I won't say it today, but maybe I will. DC is actually an Israeli settlement, is what I've come down to.
You know, I've seen a lot of information on that. So they're talking about this TikTok ban because to protect, you know, the users' information, Americans' users' information, which we know that that's all BS, because you just pointed out all the other companies that scrape our data. Okay, that was the point of social media, to get data on people. A lot of people are mentioning, because this is amazing amount of bipartisan support on this. It's like, why would you have bipartisan support on anything You know, we never get bipartisan support, especially something this controversial as, you know, First Amendment violations. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that have an allegiance, you know, that back Israel. And that there's a lot of anti-Israel propaganda on TikTok, right? Or pro-Palestine, I guess you could say. You know, they're just trying to tell the truth of what they think the truth is. And if it's not the truth, I don't need to be protected from that. You know, I can discern it.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point there, too. I mean, they're actually going at backdooring the First Amendment right there. You know, they're making it sound like, oh, we're going after TikTok because they're scraping your information. They're going after TikTok to censor us. And it's not going to stop there. If you think it's going to stop with TikTok, and I was just thinking this morning, because as we're sitting here and I'm getting a lot of disruption in this, I don't know if people are hearing it, but it's like, man, is this intentional? Because, I mean, you're breaking up here. It seems to have gotten better suddenly, but it's weird. It's just like, do they not want people talking anymore? We know they don't. That was the whole mask thing and 6 foot thing. We don't want people talking, you know, and spreading the word of what they think is actually going on in this world. That's in my opinion.
Hey, let me give you a couple more shout outs. We got Angry Tigers in the house. Nancy's in the house. Patrick popped in. What's going on, Patrick? Hey, let us know in the chat. Angus says I'm buffering on his end. He's perfectly fine on my end. So let us know. Hey, Ral, what's up? He just entered. Let us know in the chat if you guys are having any issues or not. Okay, so I got back to the TikTok thing. I got something I wanted to play here. This is from Ron Paul's Liberty Report. I really like their take on it. So I'm going to play what they had to say. And it kind of like, you know, I watch other people's opinions and then form my own. But this is pretty much spot on. Here we go.
Argument is absurd that the Chinese are using TikTok to spy on Americans. I would say, to what end? I mean, what are they going to do? Little Johnny's making a TikTok video and the Chinese are watching it. What are they going to do with it? It's absolutely absurd. The whole thing is absurd. Now, I was coming into the studio this morning. I was listening to Alex Cristoforo, who I listen to a lot and I appreciate. And he makes a very good point. This bill is a mafia bill. It's a mafia tactic. The government told a private company, you will sell or else, you know. And just by doing that, of course, it reduces the value of the company. But imagine the government has the power to put a gun to your head and says, sell your business. If that's the case, then there really is no free market in America. We live in a country that's every bit as bad as they claim China is, if they could take your business away.
It's this collusion and this sinister collusion of corporations and big government wheeling and dealing. And is a far cry what it would be like if you had a free market system and a government that respected the principles of a republic. That they don't have. And throw in for add on, this would be maybe a sound currency.
Yeah, that wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, sound currency, right? No, that's some parts that some stuff I didn't really think about as well as the business aspect of it. Should the government be getting involved with, you know, getting outside of the free market? Now you got, it's all supposedly because of the anti-Israel rhetoric on TikTok, that they're going to violate our First Amendment rights, leave it open to come after us later and criminalize it, and then also mess with free markets because, if they are forced to sell, it's going to mess their stock up, right? And it's also picking winners and losers because if one company goes down, the other company is going to soak up that market share, right? So a lot of layers of this onion to peel back.
Well, Raul just made a statement that it was the same thing that I was thinking, is that they did that during COVID. They shut down businesses and, you know, they said, well, it's under the mask of a pandemic emergency. Bull crap. They were trying to put as many small businesses out as possible. Because you remember, small business couldn't be open, but Target and Walmart and all that could be open. So who are they hurting?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Hey, Guard, what's up? Guard just popped in the chat. Good to see you, brother. Like, let's just say it's cold and flu season. It's up to me if I want to go to work and risk getting sick. I don't need the government to tell me you can't go to work because you might get sick. That's not their job. Their job is to protect us from foreign invaders. That's it. When it comes to the people, that's their only job. You know,
I mean, Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, I fly for work, you know, and I flew home yesterday. It was up to me whether or not I wanted to get on that Boeing airplane. You know, knowing what I know, it's like, it's my choice. Do I get on? Do I not get on? You know, give me an Airbus, but it didn't happen. So,
boy, that's Yona made a comment in chat the other day. I think it was on David's chat. Might have been David's regards, but he said Boeing is the name that it makes when it hits the ground.
Yeah.
All right. So we finished. Ron Paul said something about sound money. So we're going to take a little quick break and play Tiger's commercial. And okay. When we come back, we're going to go into this repo, self-repoing cars. So stick with us, folks, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready? Financial news.
So you see, you would figure with some of this calamity going on, the markets would be devastated. I wonder why they're not. Do you think the banks are the only place that the central banks are injecting liquidity and money into?
Geopolitics.
I mean, this is after the Cold War, after the USSR fell, and bang, now we got this Ukraine thing. Same thing with this. There's something going on in Taiwan. We're going to get our stick our noses where they don't belong in Taiwan if they have some kind of problem with China. They're building up to this.
Religion.
I think what we have found out is that man taints the religion, that governments and people in power who are looking for power taint the religion.
Addiction special.
I wanted to talk about, and I know we've touched on this before, we touched on nicotine last time. I want to touch on the cell phones.
Epic rants.
We are clowns. They are, the world laughs at us. We are morons. It's so infantile. That is infantile. There is zero dignity left.
Catch the Angry Tiger's Den Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Rumble, and Twitter. Also, tune in Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Tiger and Snake Financial Report. See you there.
Yeah, that's Angry Tiger. And he will be on tonight on his Tiger Tales. And that's exclusive to Free World. So you got to go over to freeworld.fm. I would check it out. He usually does requests in the last hour. And the chat over there is phenomenal. It's a very functional chat. We have little GIF wars and stuff. It's pretty cool. You can also put pictures, like drag it from your desktop on there and show people pictures and stuff. Pretty neat. But anyway, so next topic, self-repossessing cars. Have you heard about this?
Yes. You have told me about this.
Is crazy.
Other than that, no.
I think there's more to it than that. So they filed a patent with the USPTO. I guess that's the patent office. For systems and methods that aid in vehicle repossession. One of the systems described in the patent enables autonomous vehicle to repossess itself. Man, that's crazy. Other methods suggest limiting vehicle functions, AC, power windows, power seats, etc., and even locking delinquent owners out of their vehicles. And then they got Dude, Where's My Ford? I love that funny movie. So what do you think about that? You think it's about repossessing cars?
I'm gonna tell you, I grew up in a Ford family, and I'm definitely not going to buy any more Ford products if they move ahead with something like that. But so you know, I can understand their point, but it's not going to stop there again. So you're going to have a car that can supposedly repossess itself or whatever. It means you could be driving down the highway 70 miles an hour, and they say, well, you know what? This guy hasn't made that last 3 months payment. Let's shut him down. And they shut you down right in the middle of the freaking highway or something. You know, that can't happen. Anything can happen. You know, a self-driving Tesla can't run underneath the truck, and it has in at least two occasions that I've read about. So, yeah, it's never a good thing. And then you're going to put repo men out of business?
Exactly. Well, let me play the video here. There's a video where they kind of talk about the whole thing, right?
Ford is working on technology that would remotely repossess a car. If owners ignore warnings about missed payments, the system starts to disable features like GPS, air conditioning, cruise control, and the radio. It can also lock the owner out of the car. According to a patent application with the U.S. government, the technology can also make the car drive off private property to be picked up by a tow truck.
Big brother's not playing around. No. Whoa.
Yeah. So there were some other things like, initially it'll start making like weird noises, you know, like play really horrible sounding noises out of your radio and, you know, stuff like that.
I can understand if they, you know, they took over the radio and just kept broadcasting a message. Hey, you know, you need to pay us or, you know, something like that, you know, maybe doing a mafia type voice. Hey, you need to pay us. You know, I can't do mafia, but you know, but something like that, something as simple as that. And then say, you know, the repo man is coming.
Yeah. I see other
taking total control is BS to me.
Well, being able to lock it out, shut it down, not just repossess it, just to have that kind of power remotely over your vehicle falls right in line with the 15-minute city concept. What happens if this expanded? Okay, now they know how many miles you've driven. They already know that anyway. Anytime you go get an inspection, they check your mileage. You know, your car insurance rates are already based off of miles. I know when I insure my cars. Mm-hmm. I don't get the full coverage because my cars are paid off. So I tried to whittle down my price a little bit. Well, they always want to know how many miles a year I drive my vehicle. And, you know, my little red truck, right. I don't drive, but to work and back. So I tell them, you know, 5,000 miles a year or whatever, and it reduces my rates. But they can also look at that and say, well, this is his carbon footprint. So if you're, yeah. you know, driving, they don't need to ask you how many miles. They could just look it up in a database. So this guy has driven, you know, that either shuts you off because you've exceeded your carbon footprint, lock you out of your car, or they'll tax you, which is most likely what it will be. It'll be prohibitively expensive to drive your car, well, if you can even get in.
You know, and it's really not anything that new because you remember OnStar, which was the GM thing, came on. That was like in the early 90s that came out. You know, and they were, I think that was probably the early technology there where they, you know, they can unlock your car and this and that, you know, mm-hmm. and now they got the thing, you know, hum, you plug it in so they can tell you if there's something wrong with your car, you know, insurance companies that you plug in, you know, into your computer so they can know how you drive. You're an idiot. I'm sorry. You're an idiot if you do that. It's all there is to it. It's like now they know exactly where you are at all times.
And they can shut your car down.
Them to track you.
Yeah, so Brian talked about he says that most cars today are able to be hacked into and controlled externally. I seen mm-hmm. this in a Jeep. This was a news report I saw, and this has been years
ago. Yes, I saw that same thing. Yep.
Yeah, where the person was driving, and that's why I don't like drive by wire, and I don't like you know, the gas and brake by wire. I like to have physical connections because you can turn the wheel, but that doesn't make the wheels turn if it's drive by wire. It's an electrical motor mm-hmm. that makes the wheels turn. And if you get hacked into, like they did in the news report, the news person was driving the Jeep and they hacked into it and they made it stop, turn. They drove it down in the ditch, drove it around the field, drove it back up on the road. And this person's like, I can't control it, you know? So that level of control, you know, through Wi-Fi, even Brian said, and a lot of cars now have like a cellular connection. So that you have Wi-Fi in your car so it can be mm-hmm. remotely hacked. You don't have to be like in a proximity to like use a Wi-Fi device to talk to the car. You can actually do it remotely. So I just keep seeing them go more and more connected. You talked about Snapshot from Progressive. That is not to save you money. That is to charge you more. But, you know, they can also report again how many miles you've driven. I've got a manual device that I plug into my sensor or my OBD2 port.
Yep.
To get the codes, right? But it's just a handheld device. There's no Wi-Fi or nothing. But what a lot of people are getting now, and it doesn't need to come from Progressive or Ford have it built in or OnStar. I mean, I've seen them shut down a truck in a high-speed chase that had OnStar on the news once.
Yep.
They shut it down on the highway.
Yep.
But, you know, some people buy, like I was saying, my little code reader. They'll buy ones for your phone because everything's going to this little black mirror now. Everything has an app. So you just plug it in. And then it'll get your codes for you. Well, guess what? Now you've got remote connection into your car that you've provided. Even though you personally own that, they can go, you know, the government or somebody, whatever, can go there and say, hey, I want you to see how many miles this guy's driven. Okay, he's exceeded his carbon allotment for the month. Go ahead and shut the car down. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on it, man? What you think that's where it's going with the connected cars.
I think I want to get that snapshot thing and plug it into my charger and take them for a ride and make them all car sick.
You get a $10,000 insurance bill.
No, I just, I, it's crazy. You know, and people, they get so amazed by technology and they're like, oh man, that's amazing that they can do that. And they buy into it. And it's just like, you know, they typically regret it later on, but it's like, you know, too much of something is just too much. You don't need to have somebody constantly monitoring your car and all that. And my father had one of those, I think it was Hum. You know, because somebody gave it to him and said, oh, you know, this way here, you know, if something happens, you'll know and we'll know where you're at. Yeah, you will know. All right. And you know, who else knows where you're at this point? And it's like, just unplug the damn thing, would you?
Right. Well, I mean, things that are sold to you, all your tyranny is always sold to you as convenience. It's happens every time. So the OnStar thing is kind of how it started, right? We can open the doors for you. We'll know if you're in an accident, you know. We're going to be your nanny over here, right? We're going to babysit you. And then it slowly worked its way in more and more integration of remote access to your vehicle out of convenience. But now this is the first example right here where this convenience is going to bite people in the ass because their car is going to get repoed. I think they one of the reports I saw says that the average car note now is $800 a month. That's with before the insurance, right? So maybe... You know, maybe we should, and this is going to make the cars more expensive because now it's more tech that has to go into it, right?
Well, so yeah, and you bring up a good point about the carbon footprint thing. I didn't even think about that aspect of it, but yeah, that's how they'd monitor that. But you know, you see the smart refrigerators. So I just saw one of these other, and so now you know exactly what's in your refrigerator. I can tell you what's in my refrigerator by opening the damn door.
Right.
Well, this way, you don't have to open the door. Yeah, but now you know they also know how much meat you have in there. You know, now they can monitor your intake and go, you know what, you already had enough steak, so we're going to cut that out. You can't have that. And people, oh, that's crazy. That can't happen. Oh, it will. And I guarantee you it will.
This is a perfect example of how something, and Raul mentioned it too, not just convenience, but also safety. They sell it to you on safety. But this is a very, very good example, maybe the first example that we see with connected vehicles. Because remember, everything's going to the Internet of Things, right? Your car is going to have an IP address. Your refrigerator has an IP address. Your toaster is probably going to have an IP address if you're allowed to toast. I mean, just let your bread get stale on the counter. It's kind of like toast. It doesn't require energy. But, hey, JB, what's up? JB Morrison just joined the chat.
Solar toast. Just leave it in the window.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. They could. I didn't think about that. You know, a good point. If they look in your refrigerator to see what you got, that could be added onto your carbon footprint as well. So that's what I'm seeing this go. Everything that's got tech built into it is eventually going to be turned to use against you. So anything else on the any more thoughts on the repo, Elio?
No. So, you know, the other thing I saw, and I don't know if this, it kind of ties to this whole thing. Again, this goes to our friends up in North Cuba, Canada, to incorporate social scores in banking. So now they're going to, this, you know, it's all been talked about with the CBDC and all that crap. The Canadian banking system is set up to radicalize by open banking framework. And it's so that, and I mean, basically Canada already did this. So it's not a huge surprise to me. They did it during the trucker convoy. You know, they went back and they said, "Whoa, you donated money," and they shut people's accounts down. I mean, it's amazing that they can get away with this stuff without people standing up and going, "No," and just, you know, and unfortunately, the same thing will happen here because we just don't have the people, the numbers. You know, there's a handful of us in this chat right now, and you know, in a handful of other podcasts we all watch together. They're just going to, you know, it's complete tyranny. It's they're going to do this, and we're going to just have to, you know, people are going to accept it. Go, oh, okay, I guess that's the way it is now, because they do it in Canada, and that's, you know, it goes to the Canadian healthcare. People say, well, they got national healthcare up in Canada. Well, they don't tell you that it sucks. You know, my wife's family is from Canada. They always complain about the healthcare up there. You know, the younger kids don't, because that's the system that they were bought into. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we always say, they play that long game. They do it generational, you know, by generations and all that. And so I guess we'll look at Canada as being our mirror, or our window into the future, what our future holds for us, because that's, if they do it there, they're going to do it here.
Yeah. I can just see the progression. You know, I send out a tweet, right? I send out a tweet. It knocks me over to whatever the limit is for my social credit score. So they turn off my money, right? I can't make my car payment. Then my car drives itself away.
There you go. Your refrigerator locks you out.
Refrigerator locks you out. Yeah. No soup for you.
It was a couple months ago, maybe even about a year ago. One day I'm like, "Why is it my computer so slow and all that?" Because they actually turned on my bandwidth because I forgot to pay my internet bill. It's like, oh, son of a, you know, it's like, so they can actually do that. It's like, you know, well, here's a little gentle reminder for you. You forgot to pay us this month, so we're going to slow you down. Tomorrow we'll turn it off. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah. All right. So going on to, talking about cars, right? Well, we know EVs have a problem with lithium ion batteries. Well, they have a new solution. Check this out. Actually, I'm going to show you the cool picture. Yeah, let's bring this up. Boom! Nuclear batteries.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, nuclear batteries. Actually, it's pretty cool technology. I'm bringing this up because it's actually a pretty neat technology. Let me kind of read it. See, a Chinese startup has unveiled a new battery. Uh-oh, it's Chinese. Watch out now. Maybe it's misinformation on TikTok. Unveiled a new battery that claims can generate electricity for 50 years. So this is like the most energy dense. And when I talk about energy dense, it has to do not with just how the size per the wattage it has, but also the life of the battery, right? How long it can stay charged. So this thing can produce electricity for 50 years without the need. Man, AI must be writing this stuff. Should say without the need for charging or maintenance. It says with. But anyway, where's the...
Oh, no, that's the way they can come back later and go, no, we told you it needed maintenance. Look, it says right there, with maintenance.
Yeah, maybe. No, it's supposed to say without. I think more and more AI is putting these things together. Anyway, so the company said that the next generation battery had already entered the pilot testing stage and will eventually be mass produced for commercial applications like phones and drones. People will love this because, I don't never have to charge my phone, you know. Atomic energy batteries can meet the needs for long-lasting power supply in multiple scenarios such as aerospace. They already use it in aerospace, AI equipment, medical equipment, okay, et cetera, et cetera. So the thing is, they only produce 100 microwatts and a voltage of 3 volts. So it's very, very limited. I was watching another video. I wish I could find it because they were explaining the actual technology, how it works and the practical application in its current configuration. In order to power a device like a cell phone, you know, a typical cell phone, you would have to have these things stacked up in the volume of about a half of a standard size microwave. So we're going to go back to the old brick phones, you know, it's going to be all battery, you know? So there's no hope for these things right now to even power a vehicle. But they have been used in the past. So this is what it looks like. Pretty tiny, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is how it's constructed. It's got an isotope Ni-63. So it's a radioactive, and not all radioactive stuff is going to kill you. My tritium night sights on my Glock, they glow 24/7. They don't have to be like charged up in a light or something. Your compass, lensatic compass that you use in the Army has tritium so that you can see it at night. It never has to be charged up with light. And that's, you know, it's kind of like, it's less than you would get from a cloudy day, you know? So it's like being in the sun. But yeah, they got these things sandwiched between layers of diamond semiconductors. Isn't that pretty cool? And
what does something like this cost?
I'm sure the diamond is probably just a sheet of carbon that it's the same structure as a diamond, and they can make that. You know, they make cubic zirconia all the time. They can grow diamonds. It's a pretty expensive process, though, to my knowledge. But Chinese, they'll figure it out. You know, they'll figure it out. Do we got any comments here?
Yeah, so that's something that always kills me. You know, they talk about how rare diamonds are and all this. You get diamonds and drill bits. You get diamonds and batteries. And don't give me this crap that is so rare.
So diamonds are artificially scarce. I've seen a lot of reports on it. There's a lot of diamonds out there. They're just sitting on the side. So that's a really nasty business, diamond mining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was looking into how this works, and I really wish I could find that video because it was really comprehensive. But the way it works, it's, photovoltaic. That's when the photons from the sun hit the semiconductors in the solar panels, and it knocks loose some electrons which go down your silver and your silver wires and stuff, and it produces a current. So this works exactly like that, but instead of photons, it uses because photons are a type of radiation from the sun, but there's also other types of radiation. So it uses the same process of this radiation radiating. So it's almost like having an enclosed solar cell that has its own light source, if you want to think of it that way. Right. And I was trying to find the article I had. I may have accidentally closed it out, but I was going to say, this isn't new technology. This has been around.
What I was about to say. Usually when it's a good technology, we've talked about before with, people with cars, with carburetors that they made to get 100 miles to the gallon or whatever, and that technology disappears. You know, this is something else. So it's like, they probably came out with this 30 years ago, and they just, we can't put that out there because people are, we need them to buy batteries constantly. I don't know if you ever heard the story about light bulbs. There's a light bulb in some volunteer fire station in upstate New York has been in there for over 100 years.
Holy smokes.
And it's been, And I'd have to look it up, but I brought it up on an episode a while back, but basically the light bulb companies, Edison and, we can't do that because we need to sell these things.
Yeah. Right.
So it's planned obsolescence and that's what they do. And it's the same thing. You have this battery that, it's the only battery you ever have to buy, so to speak. Oh no, we can't have that.
No, can't have that now, can we? They could remotely nuke it, kind of like Apple did with their phones. When they get a new phone, they release an update that screws everybody's battery life up and makes the phone slow. That's why I won't buy an Apple product. They got caught twice doing that. But anyway, going back to this, I found it here. It said scientists in the Soviet Union and the United States were able to develop the technology for use in spacecraft, underwater systems, and remote scientific stations. However, the thermonuclear batteries were both costly and bulky. So again, China is releasing this, but this is stuff that we did, that we invented. And now they're taking it to the next level. And we've used these things in the medical field. One of the first applications for these batteries was for pacemakers, right? And they would, usually they'd have to replace the pacemaker. So it didn't last, but like so many years, but pacemaker technology was moving along so fast that you would typically have it replaced before that battery would die. So,
you don't want to wait till after.
Yeah. Right. And, the spacecraft, what are the ones, the Voyager, I must mind meld with it. Voyager, the Voyager spacecraft. I think both of them, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, they had solar. So they, powered up from the sun, but then when it got too dim for them to power it up enough to transmit back, they actually switched over to a system like this that had nuclear material. And I think that was different. I think that worked off of a heat differential, which you can do as well. I'm pretty sure that's how that one worked because it's so cold in space. If you believe there's space out there, I believe there's
a whole nother show
right there, man.
Let's talk about the vacuum of space and how do rockets work in a vacuum.
Yeah.
But
they get stuck in the dome. Speaking of that, I have something on rockets here in a little bit. But yeah, that's it. A rocket. Yeah. I actually think this could be a good technology, though. If we got the material, I don't know what the radiation would be like. Like if they start stacking these things to, you know, get enough, because you got to understand wattage is important. Wattage is your total power. So 3 volts, yeah, you can wire these things up to make them 6 volts, then 12 volts, then 24 volts. You know, you can actually, you know, a lot of trucks have two car batteries, two 12 volt car batteries to make it a 24 volt, right? Because they need to crank over that big diesel engine. I think most of our military equipment was a 24 volt setup. But anyway, I would be concerned with what the cumulative effect of stacking these, kind of like we're talking about with EMF, with the phone towers and all that stuff. And anyway, I'd be curious to find out if these things are going to be shielded or how they're going to protect us from that. And they're actually supposed to get these things. They plan on going from the 100 microwatt. They're trying to get it up to 1 watt per cell. And this is a 15 by 15 by 5 millimeter. That's tiny. Yep. That thing is tiny. It's like a penny, right? About the size of a penny, something like that. Yeah, by 2025, they plan on having 1 watt cells. And that could work for a car, I think. I mean, when you think about it right now. Here, let me grab my flashlight here. If you look at the EV cars right now. And this would actually do away with the fires. So this is an 18650 battery, a flashlight battery, right? They actually, this one came out of a laptop battery. People don't know, if you're going to throw a laptop battery away, pop it apart first, because it's probably just one bad cell out of like 6 or 8. And you could use these for flashlights. But where were we? I lost my point. I lost my train of thought.
But, you know, so while you're getting your point back, so one thing I've noticed lately on flying is, you know, everybody, you when you check your luggage, they ask if you have any lithium batteries in your suitcase. And I've had them take them out of my tool bag before in my past job. And then they just disappear because they don't want lithium batteries on the plane. But now they actually ask you, do you have lithium batteries? And so now you think about it, you go, well, you got a lithium battery in your laptop. And you got a lithium battery in your cell phone. At some point, and I think they have had a couple of cell phone fires on planes where the batteries have caught. So the past couple of weeks, they've been making announcements during, you know, the safety thing, you know, where everybody's not paying attention. And that if you drop your cell phone into the seat, do not go digging for it. Do not adjust your seat or anything. Call a flight attendant to have them come. So I was thinking, so they must have an incident where somebody dropped their cell phone into the seat, reclined it to get it out, snapped the phone, maybe snapped the battery, cause an issue, because now they're warning not to do that. So, yeah. I mean, what point are they going to say you can no longer take lithium batteries on a plane?
Yeah.
I mean, and you got to figure the overhead bins are filled with laptops or under the seat, you know, at some something's going to happen.
The reason they didn't want it in your luggage. And I looked into this because when we went downrange, both times we have lithium batteries for our night vision stuff, for, you know, all kinds of things, our red dots, all that. And we couldn't put them in the cargo. We couldn't put them in our duffel bags because if a battery fire starts in the cargo hold, nobody knows about it and it gets out of control real fast. But if it's in your possession, so we'd have to take all the batteries out of our weapons and we could put them in our pockets loosely.
Yeah.
So because we're going to know if it catches fire.
But even then, you know that if a lithium battery catches fire, it's not easy to put out.
Right. Yeah, I seen a video. If it catches
fire inside the fuselage, you know, inside the cabin of the plane, what do they do? Do they roll down the window and throw it out? I mean, you know, come on.
Well, if it's Boeing, you just kick the door real hard and it'll fly off. But I seen a video. This was back when the hoverboards were catching fire. Remember those things?
Yes.
Yep. You're giving your kid a freaking hoverboard that catches fire. Yeah. I guess this girl was, something was wrong with her phone and she got mad and she was videoed. I guess she wanted to video her breaking her iPhone with a hammer. She took a ball peen hammer, put the phone on the table and just smacked it. All of a sudden it goes, starts smoking. And she's like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? So she grabs it, and runs outside. I guess she threw it out in the yard, but yeah, it's pretty easy for them to catch on fire. And I was talking about those cells, right? Talking about electric cars. So those 18650 cells, that's what's in an EV battery. That's what's in all these big batteries now, these power banks that you buy that you put in your garage so that you make sure you catch the house on fire in the middle of the night. But yeah, there's just a whole bunch of these little bitty cells, right? And if one of those fails and catches fire, it goes into thermal runaway. The whole thing goes into thermal runaway and they start catching fire. I think this technology you could stack up safely like that. Because it's all you're going to do is if you damage it, that one is going to stop working. I don't think it'll catch fire. And each one doesn't have enough because of it's so low voltage and so low wattage. If you do the math on it, you'll realize that the amperage is not going to be that much. And that's what makes lithium ion batteries so dangerous is that they can crank out some freaking amps.
Yes.
And then the amps make heat. So that's the one thing I'm kind of wondering about, though. These things, because the amperage, even at a 1 watt at 3 volts, the amperage is going to be too low to do much with. So we're going to have to like configure these things in a combination of series and parallel circuits to stack it up. Number one, to get the voltage higher and to get the ability to get your amperage up. And they're probably going to have to be used in conjunction with capacitors. So as your car is sitting there parked, these things are constantly producing power, charging up the capacitor. And for people that don't know what a capacitor is, it's something that, car stereo. There you go. A lot of people probably know car stereo. You put the big 18-inch subs in the back of your trunk, right? And every time the bass hits, your lights dim. There's two solutions to this, or a couple different solutions. You can get an extra battery, which is kind of like improving your capacitance. Some people get a really high-end alternator that could put out more amperage. Yep. What I did when I had a Mini Cooper, that thing, I had 3 12 inch Infinity 1,000 watt max speakers, which is probably why I have tinnitus now. But great, hopefully the VA does not see this. It happened while I was in the Army, though. But I got a 1 farad capacitor, and what that does is it's constantly being charged, and 1 farad is pretty big. It can kill you, right? It can put out that much juice. But the capacitor can charge slowly and has the ability to discharge rather like rapidly, like instantly. So when that base is not hitting, the thing's charging up. And then when the base wants to hit, it pulls from that capacitor, right? And it keeps from dimming your lights. So that's what they're going to have to do with this is, EV, when you smash the gas pedal, I don't even know why they call it a gas pedal anymore. No gas, but when you smash the pedal, the accelerator, it's going to take a pretty big draw. And I don't think it would be a Nova. It won't go. So then that's going to add to weight, weight to the car was my point. You get these massive capacitors. And it's also a risk of being shocked. So there's going to be other problems if they go to start using this for EVs.
In my industry, in metal melting and casting industry, years and years ago, did a project for a company, and I won't even say the metal. I'll just say that soda cans are made out of it. But they were mixing lithium. This was a research project with aluminum. And I just said it. Never mind. But so it was a huge safety issue. Because if the lithium caught fire, they were going to have a huge problem that you can't put it out. It's almost as if like a magnesium, if you set magnesium on fire, what happens with that? Yeah. You pour water on it. And actually, yeah, it gets hotter with water. So we had to use a cover gas to keep the oxygen out. And, they did it. I actually ran into a guy at a trade show last year who worked there. And we talked about it. He said, oh, yeah, we actually did it, but nobody uses it. They just put the recipe on the shelf for now, so to speak. But, yeah, so lithium in the back. I mean, I've seen lithium car batteries for your regular car, to replace your 12-volt NiCad battery. I will not put one of those in my car, any of my cars, unless I want an insurance claim or something. Maybe I'd get one. But
yeah, right. I like the I actually seen a guy, speaking of capacitance, right? There was a guy who built himself a car battery out of supercapacitors. And as long as they can keep the charge for a while, or you drive your car every day, it keeps those capacitors charged up. It'll hold the charge overnight and it'll crank your car up in the morning. So that's pretty cool.
See, to me, that's always comes back to, why make your own beer when you can just go to the store and buy it?
Yeah.
Why make your own spaghetti? I can just go buy it. It's
a sciencey project.
I can buy my own car battery.
Well, I mean, that just goes to show you that you can think outside the box, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he did something that he'll never have to replace another battery. So they'll save you money, you know, initial upfront cost to it, you know, and safety concerns. But once you get it in place, never have to replace it.
One of our people in chat will remember this, Mr. Guard Goldsmith, is because we always like to discuss Heathkit, which I think was just kind of a regional thing. You know, you can go to the store and buy a TV set. The Heathkit, you buy it and you build it yourself. And they had all kinds of things like that, you know. But that's a little bit different than building your own. Yeah, a little bit different than building your own car battery.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is for the learning experience. And hey, Karen. Karen joined us this morning. How you doing, Karen? Hey, I'm going to go ahead. If we're done with this, I'm going to play us Tony's commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk about it's kind of a follow up to a story I sent David, and he reported on it months and months ago, maybe almost a year ago. I found it interesting. And we're going to talk a little bit about the BS-ness of the green energy. So stay with us and we will be right back.
You work hard for your money. The Federal Reserve could care less about that. It's endless printing of fiat dollars to support war, welfare, and ever-expanding government. Your hard-earned money becomes worth less every day. You need a way to hedge against runaway inflation. Saving accounts pay almost no interest, and the stock market is a roller coaster ride of uncertainty. Don't let your savings or retirement be diminished by reckless speculators, bad fiscal policy, and endless printing of fiat dollars. Call Tony Arterburn at Wise Wolf or visit wisewolfgoldandsilver.com for a real wealth storage vessel. Wolfpack is a monthly savings program that ships physical gold and silver to your door. It's a buyer's club that uses the strength of numbers to get bulk pricing. Tony passes the savings on to you. Tony can roll over a IRA or a 401k into a precious metals-backed IRA. He can also help with Bitcoin, if that's what you're into. Stop being robbed by the Fed and visit wisewolfgoldandsilver.com to secure your hard work in something that truly holds value. Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange.
Yeah, that's Tony's shop from America Unplugged. And don't forget, they come on noon, right? I switched time zones, but those be
noon, yes,
on Eastern time. And that's on you just go to the Knights of the Storm /friends website, and there's links to America Unplugged there. But anyway, let's get on to this. So biomass, you know what biomass is?
I don't think I know the exact term, but
so yeah, I wanted to talk about this. And biomass is when they burn. Actually, let's play the video, and I'll explain whatever they don't explain. But there's some stuff in here I want to talk about that shows the BS-ness of the green agenda. Here we go.
Re-Energy, an Albany-based renewable energy company, made the announcement first in 2012. It was going to spend $34 million to convert Fort Drum's old coal plant into one that could turn biomass, basically forest waste, into power. And there'd be enough of it to supply every ounce of power Fort Drum would need. 2 years later, as part of the Army's goal of having 25% of the overall power it uses be renewable, it awarded Re-Energy a record-breaking contract, 20 years, nearly $290 million, to provide Drum's needs. On October 10th, Re-Energy officially connected its plant to Fort Drum's substations, and that goal was officially met.
Okay, let me pull this down here. So I was there at the time. I was there working in the division headquarters whenever this went live. And I sent David an article. So this is an old video. I had to search to find this. I sent David an article, and I wrote him a letter about it. And I said, this is absolutely ridiculous, because if we were on the power grid, which was hydroelectric, there was a dam right outside the gate that fed the grid in that area. And everything along the Black River there is the river flows like crazy, like year round. Yeah. So it's all hydro. Now, hydro is about as green as you can freaking get. Mm-hmm. You know, it's using gravity. You know, the sun, it's actually the ultimate solar, right? Because the sun evaporates the water falls on the ground when it rains, and then it turns turbines as it goes downhill trying to get to the ocean. So they, in the name of renewable and going green, okay, and there also there was tax breaks that come with this, and then we're going to get into that. But they went off of hydro, started burning stuff, and I'm like, and I told David, I said, do these people not realize how fire works? You know, your goal is to chase out the carbon dioxide to get rid of it. You're burning something that's producing carbon dioxide. You know, what you had before had no carbon dioxide. It was just water, right? So that was the silliest thing ever. It was to meet some goals. Like they said, that the Army had goals of getting a certain percentage by a certain year to carbon neutral or whatever, certain percentage that way. So I was trying to like wrap my head around how are they thinking that this is clean, right? They call it renewable because, not because of the green aspect of it. They call it renewable because the stuff regrows. So you can, and this was like when they trim trees around a power line or they clear underbrush and stuff. And then also logging places, they were buying these chips from logging places, and employing a lot of people, by the way. But it always grows back. So that's why they call it renewable. The renewable term, if you look at all the green carbon neutral stuff, the green agenda, if you start looking at their charts and start breaking down, you know, they'll say, oh, 15% of the grid is renewable, right? Or it's green. Well, look in there, have it broke down, and they include biomass into that. So they're using that to fluff their numbers because of the term renewable, because it regrows. You know, I guess they think that coal will never be formed again. So once it's gone, it's not going to be renewed. They think oil will never come back. So once it's gone, it won't be renewed. But trees regrow, right? Yeah.
You know, and that's a lie about oil, too.
Yeah, I know.
And that was started by, I can't remember the guy that started Standard Oil. He went and said, we have to say this comes from fossil fuels, from dinosaurs, which it doesn't. It actually, and scientists have said this, it comes from the Earth's crust. It's not like you take a gallon out, automatically a gallon comes back. It takes some time, but it is a renewable resource. It has nothing to do with dinosaurs.
Yeah. So this guy, he's got a channel. He's been around for a while. I like watching his videos. His name's Cody. Cody's Lab is the name of the channel. And he does like weird sciencey stuff, chemistry experiments and things like that. But he actually had this contraption he built that was growing like a seaweed or something like that, something you could eat, right? And it was like a panel that had the liquid in it. It grows in water, and the sun would heat it up, and he was trying to do it to where it would, in the wintertime, it could survive. So at a certain time of the day, a timer would put it down into this tank where it would stay warm overnight, and then when the sun came out, it would pump it back up into the tank, right? Yeah. But anyway, the most interesting part of that video is he took some of this stuff. He put it in a little test tube. He applied heat to it with a little torch, you know, and it turned into oil. Like it baked down into a black sludge and started burning. So I think that's where a lot of our stuff comes from. The oil is renewed, organics that eventually get compressed. I don't know. But
leaves and all that stuff, compost becomes leaves. You know, they say that becomes methane. So it's the same thing. It all combusts back into some kind of, you know, burnable fuel.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No.
I think that's why they've shifted it away from we're going to run out of this stuff and it's non-renewable, these fossil fuels. They shifted away from that and went to, oh, we can't have carbon dioxide. Because people are realizing this. They're realizing we're going to have oil. We're going to have natural gas. We're going to have coal, you know. So their whole peak oil and all that other nonsense got thrown out the window pretty much. It's starting to get in the mainstream. So now they've got to shift the narrative and say, oh, well, we're going to warm the planet because of the carbon dioxide. I think that's why they started the whole CO2 BS nonsense. They needed a boogeyman. But anyway, what were you going to say before I interrupted you?
But no, so, you know, you're talking about the Fort Drum thing and all that. And that's when these people put all this stuff, this is renewable. I said, my old job, we built fuel cells. And so this was early, late 90s, early 2000s. And it's like, oh, no, this, that, that, I was excited about we were getting involved in this, the company I worked for. And then you find out that, you know, you're thinking this is great. You know, it's, this is a new thing and it's going to save, you know, whatever. It requires natural gas. So how is this any greener than anything else that we're doing? I mean, it's just a scam. They put, they use these terms, you know, and that's how everything gets sold. And then people go, huh, you know, they look back in 10 years. And I got a whole thing I wrote yesterday about solar panels. Again, I got to do my State of the Union address here soon, but you know, people, they use hashtags and feel good, you know, slogans and stuff, and people buy into it. And then you look back and you go, wow, that really wasn't that green. If people knew what it takes to make solar panels, the amount of energy it takes, you're never recovering the energy that, it, you know, you, not you personally, but, you know, the corporations, you just say the global energy that it took to make these solar panels, that energy will never be recovered. That carbon footprint is gone.
The best visualization I've seen is somebody got a picture. This is somewhere over, I think, in Europe or something. But it was a remote EV charging station that was basically a huge diesel generator with a car charger. It's like, yeah, it's not green. It's not green at all. Let me go back to this real quick. This biomass. I got a little bit info to add to that. So they started this biomass, plant, and it was quite successful. I mean, it powered the whole base, and I think they actually made additional. But there was also a second objective to that. Part of the reasoning for getting all that money, you know, allocated to do this wasn't just to meet part of the Army's goals. They also said, as far as renewables go, but it's also to harden the infrastructure so that, like, China or somebody couldn't hack in and shut down the grid and then take the base offline. So they're like, hey, we have our own power system. Nobody can do that. So it made sense. You know, there was a secondary objective to it. So I said, okay, maybe that's, maybe they don't understand that it's not really green. Maybe they do understand that it's not really green, but they also have this other objective they're meeting. Right. So they're burning this stuff. And I looked into what the recipe was. It wasn't just wood chips. It was wood chips, construction material, or rather from deconstructing stuff, you know, knocking down old buildings and stuff, which that's got some nasty crap in it. There could be drywall. I mean, insulation could make its way in there, and ground up tires. I don't know what the purpose of the ground up tires were. Maybe it's to get the temperature hot enough. I'm not really sure, but
that's what I'm thinking, but
yeah, it was a very, very small percentage. Even the construction materials wasn't a huge percentage, maybe like 15% or something. But I looked at it and I'm like, wow, this is horrible. And then I looked up, you know, today or yesterday, I looked up what is considered biomass. Well, here's what biomass is. So when you're looking at these numbers of, oh, you know, all this renewable to push the green agenda, which is, I think we've established this is not green. And actually, we're going to get into that in a minute, why they shut this plant down. But you can burn crops and agriculture residues, vegetables, oils, and animal fats. I guess that's kind of like make it into like a biodiesel.
Right. Yeah.
Trash / garbage, sewage, animal manure, and wood. These are the things that are considered biomass. And so when you look at these charts that say, oh, you know, Iowa is X percent, you know, renewables. We are really making strides here, you know, 10%. We increased by 10%, but we were only 5% last year. So what is that? A half a percent, you know, that you increase. And then they're already lumping in hydro and geothermal. Okay. So this is stuff that we've already had in place. All these windmills we're throwing up and solar we're throwing up haven't really added anything to the grid. They just started including things in the category, and biomass is one of those that they've keep including in the category. But when it comes to tax breaks, they didn't like that. So here is so this plant was supposed to run for 20 years and it ran for 10 and they closed it down. Go ahead and play this.
Evening, the biomass facility which powers Fort Drum, is set to close early next year. More than two dozen jobs are there, and it supports dozens of logging and trucking jobs in the North Country. Tonight, we learn why the plant is expected to close and also what could be the source of energy that's up next for the local Army post. ReEnergy buys wood chips from local lumber yards and sawmills, transfers them into energy, and generates 100% of Fort Drum's power, a rarity in the U.S. Army. But that process is not considered a renewable energy in New York State, and the plant doesn't qualify for certain incentives. In an email, a company spokesperson tells 7 News ReEnergy plans to terminate operations March 31st.
Okay, so you hear that? New York says it's not renewable. I think it's because it's burning, which would be, it's renewable because it grows back, but it's not green enough for them. So they took away the tax incentive. And currently Fort Drum is back on the grid. I think I closed the one. Yeah, I think I closed it down. But anyway,
so they only went to 10 years. Does that mean the company had to pay back half?
Nope.
The 290, what was it? 295 million or whatever.
Yeah. No, that's not how government contracting works. If the military violates the contract, the contractor still gets paid the full amount. So unless there was a special clause written in there. I don't know. I don't think they get their money back. So, but it also depends. Well, no, even if they haven't got paid all the money yet, according to contracting, they're required to pay to keep paying them for however long they're supposed to pay them.
Yeah, so, I kind of meant that facetiously because we know that Solyndra didn't give back their money.
Right, right. But yeah, that's crazy. And it all comes down to that whole shenanigans was not about green. I called it then because they're burning stuff. It wasn't about hardening their system because now they're back on the grid. And it was all about a tax incentive. That's what it was. They were trying to get a tax credit. And that tax credit went away. I guess somebody must have brought up the fact that, hey, you know, this isn't really a renewable because we determine a renewable to mean it doesn't produce CO2. So now they've got people, there's legislation going up. I don't know where it's at, but they're at this point. But they're trying to include biomass back into the definition of renewables so that they can, put that plant back online. So. It's all about the green.
But see, to me, right off, that doesn't make it renewable because they have to take down trees, shred them. You know, a tree is not going to grow back in 10 years, not to the size it was when you cut it down and shredded it.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's not like, again, it's not like you take a gallon out and the gallon automatically comes back. Cows are renewable resources for that matter. You take a gallon of milk out of a cow, you're going to get a gallon back in a day or so.
I think it could be considered renewable if, you know, a portion was used for biomass because certain, like, that's a kind of a swampy area in Fort Drum and stuff grows really thick. And right now Georgia's the same way and they do controlled burns to get rid of it. They burn to undergrowth, but if they were to, you know, harvest all that, they could easily just constantly have enough to, but then now you think about this, now you're burning diesel engines to knock that stuff down. So why not just have a diesel power plant? You know, I think the idea is this is stuff that has to be dealt with anyway. You know, there's a lot of power lines that run out to the ranges. They got to keep the trees trimmed back. You know, all this stuff that goes on produces waste. You know, you could make mulch out of it. You could make, what is it? Not mulch, the stuff you put in your garden.
Oh, the wood chips. It is mulch. It's mulch.
Oh, okay.
But the wood chips, yeah. But
okay, yeah.
We live next to a dairy farm just at the end of the street here, and talking about the biomass thing, and they actually have a project there now that is taking the cow manure and supposedly it's going to turn it into energy. So this has been, you know, this thing has been going up for like 3 years now. I yet to see any wires coming off the thing, but you know, it's pretty much complete. You know, I'm starting to have wind turbine flashbacks here, but you know, I can understand it. That's a good idea because compost creates heat.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you take that heat and you turn it into something else. But
well, I can burn it too. I mean, you can burn poo.
Yeah.
But, you know, that just shows, though, I want to touch on the story because it shows how it's all about the money. It's not about the green. And here's something else I want to point out, talk about green stuff. If they were serious about green energy, they wouldn't be allowing this, or about CO2, yeah, they wouldn't be allowing this. This is a SpaceX rocket.
And the rocket
from South Texas today, SpaceX launching its third test flight of Starship, the biggest and most powerful rocket ever built.
We are feeling the rumble.
The spacecraft, NASA hopes, will one day help bring astronauts back to the moon.
And passing supersonic, so we're now moving faster than the speed of sound.
Starship traveling farther in space than ever before, almost halfway around the Earth.
Oh, man, I need a moment to pick my jaw up from the floor because these views are just stunning.
SpaceX expected Starship would survive re-entry to the atmosphere, but break apart when it hit the ocean.
The heat shield tiles doing their work up to 2,600 degrees Fahrenheit, but those heat shield tiles are dissipating.
Instead, the spacecraft lost contact and burned up on its way back to Earth.
David.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about, well, let me let you give your thoughts on this first.
No, because you know how I feel about it. But I had seen, because I was in Texas this week, but I had seen that SpaceX is trying to take eminent domain, so to speak, over this park, state park, so they can spread out their star base, you know. And I mean, who are these people? Why does this guy always think that he can get everything for free, you know, like a spoiled little kid? I need more land. Ooh, okay, here you go. And so NASA, this takes us back to how many ever times we've talked about this. We're going to go back to the moon. We forgot how we got there, though.
Because
so we're going to go to Elon and ask him to build us a rocket because we're not sure if we could ever do that again. I mean, this is just such crap.
Yeah,
absolutely. I still want to know. So, okay, maybe we went to the moon or not, but what did NASA do with all the money after that? They supposedly they have an $80 million a day budget. Where does all this freaking money go? Matt Landman bought that up. $80 million a day budget. Where does all this freaking money go?
Hey, and just
I should be able to get an elevator right now and go to Mars. Press top floor, Mars.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking, you know, Elon's the darling boy. You know, the government gives him all this money to start up these companies. Then they put him in the lead. They endorse him. You're talking about they might be giving him land, eminent domain, right? If they were super serious about CO2, they wouldn't be doing these rockets. Think about how much energy is taken up by artificial intelligence and data storage facilities and all this other stuff. You know, they want to complain about Bitcoin because it takes energy to mine the Bitcoin and process the transactions. That is a fraction of what we're using for nonsense, for spying. And so, I don't know, my point is that the biomass thing turned out to be, it was for a tax credit. It had nothing to do with being green. It had nothing to do with CO2. It had nothing to do with hardening the facility against hackers, because all that's been undone. And they lost, like you said, they paid for 20 years contract, and then they canceled at 10. Those guys are still getting paid. So it's not about, if it was really about that, they wouldn't allow rockets. And think about it. How much energy went into making that, to building that rocket, right? Getting the fuel, producing the fuel, because those things, liquid, where they use liquid oxygen, and is it hydrogen and oxygen? It's like hydrogen, a liquid fuel.
Yeah,
that's all got to be compressed. It's got to be maintained. It's got to be kept at temperature. You know, then they got to put the thing together. Look at all the fire coming out the butt end of that thing. And then it burns up on reentry, which created more CO2. Burning some nasty stuff too, like space age materials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they're not serious. Elon's not serious about CO2. And I mean, was he just going to pay for the carbon credits?
If he was serious about, you know, with his EVs and this and that reducing CO2, again, look at what it makes the lithium batteries for these things. And like we were saying before, the diesel alone that they have to use to go dig this stuff up. You know, along with the slave labor that they're using to dig this crap up too. But it's, these people are nothing more than snake oil salesmen is all it is.
Yeah. And they're also, they're not being green as far as just generally being green, and for the CO2, because like you said, digging this stuff up is a very intensive task. You know, running diesel bulldozers, backhoes, whatever they got to use, trucks to move this stuff around. It gets shipped around the world on shipping containers.
Stripping Mother Earth.
Yeah.
The Mother Earth that they're talking about, they need to save. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but then this is how you also know they're not serious. Because I invested in a Canadian company that's been able to take these lithium ion batteries that only, you know, after 7 or 8 years, you got to replace it, which just basically totals your car because your car is not worth the replacement cost of the battery. But they have a way to take these little cells, like I pulled that one cell out, because they're all the same. They're all uniform. When you pull these batteries apart, these cells are all uniform. So they're able to come up with a process that can take them, that unrolls them. It does whatever it does. It creates a sludge. And this sludge then can be separated out and they reuse the material. So they can recycle, I think it was 95 to 90% of the rare earth minerals in these batteries that are right now going to landfills, and they sit there till they catch fire or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what they're not going anywhere. They're not recycling them at all. They're just going to get more rare earth materials, causing all the CO2 to go in the air. When there's a company out here that can do it, they could do it, and they're bombing. And this company is bombing. They're doing horribly because they can't get the business. Nobody's interested. If they were really interested, they would say, hey, why don't we just endorse this company like we did Solyndra, like we do SpaceX, like we do all these other companies that we give money to save the planet. Let's give it to this company so that they can recycle it, and then we're going to stop having to mine for it, or at least not mine as much. You know, I don't know. Right. This is how you know they're not serious. It's all about carbon tax and control.
And that's another good point is, so, you know, people don't think of that aspect of, like you said, the EV battery. So now I need a new battery for my EV. What happens to the old one? So my 2004 Avalanche, which has 220,000 miles on it, is still on its original motor. So don't tell me that that is worse than any, you know, none of it's ever had to go to landfill. And when it does, if I need to put a new motor in it, guess what? That motor gets burnt down and gets recycled.
Yep.
And, you know, and you can't do that right now with the lithium batteries. And like I said, they're not interested in that. Maybe if some other company comes out later and says, oh, you know what? We need to do something with these batteries, and some corporation comes, you know, maybe Elon will come up with and say, oh, you know what? I can recycle these now. And then they give him, you know, another quadrillion, $1 billion, whatever, to start this company. I think a lot of it also is being in the what do they call that? The old boys club, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, this is how it works. You know, if this company was to make a considerable donation to the Democrat,
there you go,
or the Republican Party, they made their super PAC or something like that, then they would come back and they did pretty much own a politician, and they could say, hey, you know, we scratched your back, now scratch ours. And then they'll come out and say, oh, we have this problem with the batteries, but we have this company here, we're going to give them a grant of, you know, $50 million to start this company up. That's how it works. Look, that's what happened with Solyndra, you know.
Yep.
I'm sure that GE and these people making these windmills, I think, does LG make windmills too, I think?
Or is it just probably. I would assume so. They're at least making the turbines for it, if not, you know, probably not the blades and all that. But
yeah, so, but at least this product works. The recycling of these things works. So there's a way to do it, but nobody's behind it. That's how you know they're not serious. It's all about, control. It's about money. It's a big old money laundering process. It's a continual loop. We pay our taxes, they give it to a company, the company then gives you know, does their startup or whatever, then they give some of the money back in the form of campaign contributions, and then they campaign contributions ensure that the government keeps giving the people money. So and they're pulling it from the taxpayers.
Well, not to beat a dead horse, but also, you know, with the Solyndra thing, so I think they were going to employ 200 people for $500 million. Man, what kind of salaries were these people making at that point?
Oh, well, the top couple probably had a pretty good salary.
I wanted to get a job there.
All right. Yeah, the whole SpaceX thing. And it just kills me because it's so blatantly obvious, all the CO2 that they're spewing out. And that's, you know, the government's darling boy right there, Elon.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. But hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about DNA. We're going to report on a couple things. Talk about bombastic reporting as well on some of these things. But I'll go ahead and play Addy's commercial. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
New music, classic artists. That's how we do it here at Modern Retro Radio.
Lenny Kravitz has just released his 11th studio album.
Here is the ever-enduring pop genius, Beck.
Giving you the latest from Sheryl Crow.
Lindsey Buckingham.
Marilyn Manson. This is Garbage, a song called Blood for Poppies.
Robert Cray, he's channeling Al Green.
Better known as Chaka Khan.
Brand new music from Parliament Funkadelic. Back in the 1980s and 1990s, we knew him as Terrence Trent D'Arby.
This is Taylor Dane.
You know that group, Foo Fighters?
I'm vaguely familiar with them, yeah.
The new album from Slash, Phil Collins, covers the Four Tops.
Metallica's 2016 double album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct.
Here we got Aerosmith with Beyond Beautiful.
All right, welcome back. We're going to try and get out of here in the next 15 minutes or so because America Unplugged comes on at noon. So we're going to try to blow through the rest of this stuff as fast as possible. All right. So DNA. So I did, before I pull this up, I did a report on my Foxhole where I broke down an interview Tucker Carlson did with, what's his name? He's the, let me play the clip here real quick.
Do you think it's conceivably possible that the mRNA vaccines change people's DNA or could?
It's absolutely possible. I mean, I wouldn't have issued this call to halt their use if that wasn't possible. On a factual basis, it is absolutely possible. There's zero question about that. Now, the real question is whether it is happening, if it is happening, the degree to which it's happening, the location of affected cells, and the potential for that to cause, whether it's cancer or heritable characteristics, or that is to say that, is it affecting things like a woman's eggs or a man's sperm, such that it could be passed on, or whatever else it potentially could be causing. But it absolutely is a possibility. There's zero question about that.
All right. Why did it do that? Okay, it kept us on the side there. That's weird. Anyway, so yeah, I looked at that whole video, and I knew that this was a thing. I'm no freaking scientist, and I'll tell you how. Huh?
Go ahead. Isn't this the stuff that we all talked about since 2020, and yep. Stuff that got people banned from YouTube and everything? I mean, so now somebody comes out and says, "Well, you know what? That might be a problem. They're messing with your freaking DNA."
Yeah. Well, one of the things he was talking about wasn't exactly the same as what I was talking about. He's saying that there was DNA present, not just RNA, but there was also DNA present in the lipid nanoparticle. So he mentioned that, and that's the Surgeon General of Florida, by the way. But anyway, the RNA is wrapped in a lipid nanoparticle so that it can survive and then be able to penetrate into the cell and get injected into the cell, right? We have RNA and DNA floating around in us all the time, and your body will break it down. So people are like, oh, no big deal if there's DNA in your body. But if it's in this lipid nanoparticle, it also gets injected into your cell. So you're changing the body's DNA. And there's also such thing as a reverse transcription. I'm going to throw this on screen here. This is for UNICEF. Big letters if you're listening on the radio. The COVID-19 vaccine does not change human DNA, just huge across the whole screen, right? And then you roll down. Injecting RNA into someone does nothing to the human cell's DNA, says Professor Jerry Alland of Oxford University. So they're basically coming out and saying, no, RNA will not change your DNA. However, this is what I've been talking about, reverse transcription. Reverse transcriptases have been identified in many organisms, including bacteria, animals, and plants, as well as viruses. The natural role of the reverse transcription is to convert RNA sequences into cDNA sequences that are capable of being inserted into different areas of the genome. In this matter, reverse transcription contributes to, and it talks about all this stuff. So reverse, that's the one thing they don't talk about. And I brought this up with my doctor, you know, and he said, oh, no, there's no way that can happen. But I'm like, I can read, you know, it's kind of crazy. What do you think about that?
No, it just pisses me off. I really, if I go on, we're not going to get out of here until 12:30.
Okay.
So I'm not going to, but okay.
We actually have things
that people in the alt media, conspiracy theorists, whatever you want to call it, that we all talked about at the beginning and everybody got in trouble for.
You know why nobody listens to us? Because of bombastic reporting. Let me show you what. And by the way, we're not going to get cut off of Free World. We have, I guess we have 2 hours total now. So if we go over a little bit, that's okay. But check this out. This is back from when Trump was a president, right?
In that video that you retweeted last night said that masks don't work and there is a cure for COVID-19, both of which health experts say is not true. She's also made videos saying that doctors make medicine using DNA from aliens and that they're trying to create a vaccine to make you immune from becoming religious.
Maybe it's the same, maybe it's not.
Okay, so what that was somebody, I guess Trump was endorsing or retweeting or something, and
if I remember, it was the woman. She was a Haitian doctor.
Okay.
And she had talked about hydroxychloroquine and all this, and then they spun it that, well, she believes in alien DNA.
Right.
So they destroyed her that way, made her look like a nut job.
And you know what that also does is that inserts the conspiracy theory idea. So that when we talk about changing the DNA, we kind of get lumped into that. And it's happening again. Look at this this one here.
Scientists at an elite research unit in Spain have made a series of startling discoveries regarding the Pfizer COVID mRNA vaccine, including the disturbing fact that when placed in a reptile incubator at body temperature for 48 hours, new life forms, including heads and legs, appear to hatch in the mRNA solution. Have the elite smug...
I'm sorry, this is why nobody takes this seriously. You know, just like with the nanotech and everything. Yeah, there's something in there that's coagulating in graphene oxide sheets. We know that. They can form nanotubes. We know that. But when you start saying it's circuitry or DNA, you know, alien DNA, and they're hatching, people won't take us seriously. So,
And I think that's why, you know, we were talking about censorship at the beginning of the show. And I think that's why they allowed platforms like Rumble and Rockfin, so people would be putting that out there. And then they can say, hey, it's free speech. You want to go listen to these conspiracy nuts, mm-hmm. you know, and it helps them, in which, you know, to me, you got me on a little bit of a rant here, but why I think that they selected Trump to be president, because they knew, you know, he promoted hydroxychloroquine, and people go, oh, well, I wouldn't take that. He said it's good, you know, we should be using that, and they destroyed that, you know, because they needed to get rid of that so they could get their, what was it, the emergency authorization used for the vaccine.
Right.
All this everything stuff is tied together. It's...
Yes, everything has its purpose. And, you know, looking back, that's such a wild claim that there's alien DNA in the vaccine, right? Such a wild, wild claim. Was that done on purpose? Was that part of the reason to make us dismiss anything that has to do with our DNA and the vaccine? So that now we're finding out the DNA has changed. It's like, oh, not this old stuff again. That's hogwash. I think some of these... crazy theories are actually put out by the government because they know it's going to be questioned later, and now they have something to refer to. Oh, snake venom in the water, you know, snake venom in the vaccine, that kind of nonsense. So,
but
go ahead.
A little self-promotion. So this is going to spin into an upcoming Event Horizon episode, because actually Karen Carpenter and I think you were involved in this texting the other day, talking about this with the Anunnaki and how they supposedly change DNA and all this, you know, to make us a slave race to mine gold. But again, that's for another episode at a different time.
All right. We can actually wrap it up. I was going to talk a little bit about the cereal for dinner, right? You know, you remember that Kellogg's CEO put out? We'll just kind of brush over. Yeah, apparently the Biden economy is so wonderful that we can now barely afford to buy cereal for dinner. You know, it's a cheap, it's about a dollar a bowl when you figure in for the milk and the sugar and all that. So that's interesting.
It's wonderful for you.
And I got a couple of examples here. Let me go ahead and just pull it up real quick. We got a couple minutes. Yeah. So Gates has got his GMOs cereal. And there we go. It's Klaus with his critters.
You know, are there prizes in there? You know, like the
one still alive. That's your prize. That's your prize. All right. So I guess if you ain't got anything else, I'm going to play our little Klaus Schwab video and then we can get up out of here. What do you think?
All right. Schwab away.
Schwab. Hold on a second. I got to check something here. I think I actually have it embedded here. Kind of cool. Thought I downloaded it. I guess not. I'll play it in the browser. Oh, here it is. All right. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, take care, and we will see you in America Unplugged here in about a half hour.
Take care, everyone.
Here's a song I wrote. You might want to hear it in your talk. You'll own nothing. And be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no car. But 24's the shots in your arm. Own nothing. Be happy. You can't even buy shit in the store. Because of your low social credit score. Own nothing. Be happy. You'll own nothing. And be happy. Be happy, 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 happy